So today's sermon is going to be kind of a little bit of a confession, because this text got really confusing to me. But I do not let your hearts be troubled. I promise there will possibly be a point. I'm not sure. We'll see. But in John's Gospel, from chapter 13 to 17, we call this the farewell discourse. They're words of comfort and hope, promise and plain speech to the disciples. In chapter 13, we had the foot washing and the last meal. Those events might sound familiar to you. And then now Jesus begins his departure conversation, trying to prepare his disciples for what comes next. This extensive goodbye, with reminders and coaxings and reassurances to these much-loved disciples. So I think the key to all of it starts in chapter 13, when John writes, "Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." It seems that it's all based in love. People had to remind me of that this week as I got caught up in my own questions and wonderings on how to figure out this text. One of my seminary professors put it this way once. He said, "Think of this statement, 'I will always love you.' Have you said that before or heard that before? I'm guessing so. It's a sheer promise, this promise of love, clear enough. Then he says, what if you say this, 'I will always love you if you love me.'" Does that sound like that pure promise? Sounds a little bit of condition there. There's kind of a threat behind it. It almost as if you don't love me, or perhaps love me the way that I think I should be loved, then I am not going to love you. A little bit of condition behind that. Now, you might say that's all just semantics. Well, I think that's where we're at in John's Gospel, is some of this semantics. Because to me, that famous verse of, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me," I have a hard time with that. Kind of sounds a little judgmental, a little exclusive, a little conditional. But I wonder if maybe I have taken that out of context. Imagine that, people doing that with the Bible. But maybe the larger context of the gospel is, for John, it's never about who is out, but it's always about who's in. That sheer promise of love for everyone. Because if I would read on, or if I would listen more to what happens next, Jesus says, "You already know. You already know about this love, because here I am in the midst of you. You've been with me." Henry Nouwen says that this text urges us to love Jesus and love the way Jesus loved. That maybe that this is the way that Jesus is teaching. For John's gospel, Jesus himself embodies the way of God, the way of discipleship, the way of truth, this nature of Jesus' mission, this way of life, this purpose of that mission to be living out in the world, this love. People this week describe the way as meaning abundance, receiving, or the word of God, this acceptance, being open to all of life, being present in the moment, seeing Jesus as the source of abundant life and abundant grace, and those are great. My response? Blah, blah, blah. Perfect. Wonderful words. I can get on board with those words, but I think I'm caught up in what's going on in this text, because if you heard at the beginning, there's just so much. These dwelling places that Jesus is going to seems like it's a place way out there, and yet that dwelling, that place might mean relationship with Jesus. Or at the end, there's another statement that's very hard. "Ask anything and I will give it to you." Really? I've asked for a lot of stuff from Jesus that I have not gotten yet. So how do we make this all work? The semantics of this text. So I'm wondering if I am like those disciples, that I am not truly listening to Jesus' words. Because I think in his utter sassiness, he slaps them in the face and says, "Really? I'm right here. I've been with you this whole time. You've seen it. We've lived it together." But how easily that can happen to me, that I miss it. I miss those points and those moments of experiencing God's presence, getting caught up in the everyday, the stuff in our lives. Apparently, I got so caught up in my questioning and wondering that I missed a lot. Somebody had to point out to me at a social gathering this week that I did not take the opportunity to talk to people outside of our circle of friends, which is what I do. But apparently, I got so caught up right here that I missed those moments. Rachel Held Evans says it this way. She says, "How often do we miss God's presence in the very places Jesus said we would find it? For example, in the bread and the wine, or in the baptismal waters, in God's word, where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, among the least of these. For me, it's being in conversation with people who are wondering and questioning. Where are those moments for you of God's presence? And how often do we miss those on this quest to know about God? This quest isn't about knowing so much about the way, but this faith is to know the way, to be in that relationship with Jesus, with God. Because God is right under our nose, whether we know it or not, right there showing up, assuring us that I will always love you. For me, the most clear moment for that message in my life was when I was on internship down in Arizona, and I worked with a youth group there as well, and we went to the National Youth Gathering in New Orleans, and the theme was all about the waters of baptism. One of the young men that we took with us, we didn't know very well. He had just come to the church. We knew that his parents were divorced, and he really didn't have a place or a family to live with, but we decided he was coming. And along this journey, he's asking all these questions about this baptism. And what does it mean? And we use terms like you are baptized into a community, a new family that you stand together with in faith. And those were terms that he could not comprehend. No idea what that meant. But for that time that we were in New Orleans, he soaked up all of this information and all of this learning. And on the flight back, the conversation became, I want to be baptized. And so all 20 of the youth that were on that trip, we stood around this baptismal font with him, and he was baptized. And we got to journey with him for a couple of years in his faith. And at that particular congregation, we blessed our seniors as they left to the next journey of college or work or whatever they were doing, just like we do here at Lord of Life. In that congregation, the quilters would partner up with the youth and together make a specific quilt for each youth, so it was a year-long journey. People got to know one another really well, and this young man grew in his faith as these people stood together with him. So it came to that day for the blessing. Now, I have to tell you, that congregation was very laid back. People actually talked to one another during the sermon. And actually, at any point during worship, someone could stand up, should the Spirit move, and say whatever they wanted to say. So every Sunday was very exciting. Well, this one was not any different. As he stood there, he said, "Pastor Jennifer, I really have to say something." Great. So this is what he said. "I am here because of you. When my parents divorced, I thought my world was over. But you stood by me. You told me stories of Jesus, and I just want to say to you, thanks for all you did for me. I intend to make you proud of me as I live this life of sharing Jesus as you have shared and told him to me." So he was addressing the whole congregation that was standing there, and suddenly a guy in the back stands up and says, "I got something to say." Shoot. No idea what this guy is going to say. But because I didn't know he was connected to this young person. So he stood up there, we gave him the mic, and he said this: "We will always love you. We are proud of you. We are with you as you go." Plain and simple. Sheer promise That sheer, "I will always love you," are words that he needed to hear in that moment, and words that congregation needed to say. Young people, you stand before your congregation today, and they are saying the same thing to you. That this is a sheer promise that you are proclaiming as you are taking your next step in your faith. And we heard from your mentors yesterday that they have been touched by your awkward energy and your quirkiness every Wednesday. They have been touched by you. So our encouragement, as we stand there and people are laying their hands on you, feel that love that they have for you. Feel the love of this congregation as they journey with you, reminding you that you are loved for the lovable person that you are in every moment. So what does that mean for all of us as we journey in this faith, reminding ourselves that we are loved, as is everyone around us? How do we share that presence in our own awkward energy and in our own quirkiness in this world?